game. When you think about, you know, what this team was built to be and the expectations that come with it falling significantly short, at some point that has to result in an evaluation, I would say, week to week of everything, right? It only seems natural. So I think that everything is being evaluated all the time. And at some point, you know, there's going to come to a period, if things don't change, where you'll say, we have to make a change in everything that you're doing, whether it's the process, whether it's the way that you're preparing for games, it's whether it's who's your quarterback, it's whether it's who's on your offensive line, it's whether who's playing receiver. All of it has to be up for evaluation when things are going dramatically different than the expectation.
Browns analyst Nathan Zagura just moments ago, and it is easy to focus on Deshaun. But Nathan is right that when you have the things that are going on, which are lapses in concentration, lapses in tackling, in blown assignments, in communication, in the basics of football, everything should be on the table. And so, listen, if you want to say that was an egregious game by Deshaun, you and I are in agreement. I don't think Deshaun gave you a chance to win yesterday. And as to what the difference for him is from the week before, I don't know. And I don't know that they know. I'll be honest with you right now, I don't see with how these guys are coaching, I don't see a lot of answers anywhere from players or from the coaches themselves. But I think it's interesting that people have used all of this to say, well, it's over. As a matter of fact, one of the things I asked on my TikTok, I'm not doing NickTok as it's known, NickTok, was the question about, does it feel like it's over? Because going into the game, I had said, guys, you're going to be 1-4. That's not ideal, but you can survive this if you lose this game. But how they lost continues to be the bigger story than just them losing. And whether it is team effort, whether it is playing for each other, whether it is focus or coaching or literally any of the cadre of things that I've seen you guys send my way, all of which I think is some, you know, degree of truth. And I'll be honest with you, the biggest thing is it's a failure in leadership. And that is now, I'll say, the third straight week that have come out and said, failure of leadership. And to me, that's unacceptable. To me, that is non-negotiable. And for a veteran team to have this bad a body language, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little bewildered right now. I'm going to assume that they're a little bewildered as well. The opportunities are there. They're just not capitalizing on them. Now, I don't know I agree with everything Nathan said because he thinks it's just an execution problem. I mean, I guess if nobody's executing, yes, it is an execution problem, but I look at it and go, well, why isn't a team full of veterans executing? So as much as people want to say, well, it's over, season's over. Now, unfortunately, they do have another carry the two, 12 games to go. And it's funny because, you know, Daryl said this on Friday's show. I've heard of, can't be worse. Guys, it absolutely can be worse. And that's what... Honestly, guys, like when it comes to benching Deshaun or taking away play calling duties from Kevin and giving them to Ken or benching Ethan Posick or benching this player or that player, there are a few things that I would not mind doing, including trading guys with the absolute worst body language. I'll be honest with you. Cannot stand to watch Amari Cooper drop passes and then be Mr. Poo-Poo Head on the sidelines. I can't do it. I like Amari. My patience is officially worn thin with that. He's just the guy I'm pointing out because it's the first thing that I remember. I get it. You don't have to be happy. You don't have to enjoy not getting the ball where you want it to be. Be a damn professional and show up for the next play. Because what I think is happening is everything is compounding into another thing. So much like we were with Dallas, coming off the Dallas game where you just needed to get a win to pause the crap. You just need a win to pause the crap. And then see if you can build on it from there. But when you are in emergency mode, when you're in MASH unit mode, you can't win. Well, okay, you can win, but you can't grow. Anybody out there who has ever lived through like survival mode, I've talked about this a few times. There's a time when I was, 32. Is that right? 7 years ago? Oh my gosh, what a kick in the you-know-whats. Not as much as yesterday's game was, but we were taking care of my grandma who was terminally ill and couldn't walk. We had three young kids. We had bills mounting. And every day I was like, I just got to find one thing to be better. I couldn't. You know why? Because we were surviving from minute to minute. At any given moment, a kid came home with a broken arm. At any given moment, it was another hospital trip for grandma. At any given moment, it was I had to find some way to find $100, $500, because something else went. It was a car. It was an animal. It was a relative. And so it's not surprising to me that when some of that stuff went the wayside, all of a sudden, I could focus on the things that I wanted to do. Be a better dad. Be a more... At some point, it's too much crap to manage. That is where we are with the Browns. You cannot fix everything all at once, so you got to start somewhere. But you can't grow in survival mode. So I get it. When people say the season's over, okay, that it maybe for you. And if you want to walk away, you're not going to get an argument from me. I'm not selling you to stay on the Browns bandwagon. They don't deserve that as of right now. None of them do. They've lost collectively in a way that is embarrassing and humiliating too many times this year. But I got to be honest with you guys, I'm not in change mode. I'm in sit there in your own filth and work your way out of it mode. And I think you saw this in Carolina. Carolina did the thing of we're going to go to the backup quarterback and Andy Dalton's going to fix all our woes. That lasted 1 week. 1 week. They're now 0-2. They're not any closer to finding their way out of the paper bag. They're in the maze. They're lost. They're blind. They have no senses to speak to. I don't know Andy Dalton or Bryce Young's going to do it. But it would be so much easier if I could just convincingly say, yeah, Ben, get the hell out of here, Deshaun. Get the hell. Come on. But Jameis Winston's going to crab legs his way to guys, I don't know. I just don't know. Is that going to make people block harder, block better, communicate? Is that going to make people catch the ball in the end zone when it's thrown smack dab right at their hands, right at their numbers? Is it going to make the defense stop looking everywhere else? Like, I heard this idea. Well, what if the defense is frustrated with the offense? Like, I give a rip. Oh, no. The defense is mad. The offense isn't scoring more. Wait till they find out about their lack of tackling. If the defense is pissed about the offense, wait till you see some of the breakdowns going on the field or MJ Emerson getting burnt like toast when you're high and drunk as hell. Just you wait. There seems to be a lot of pointing outward. And the next 12 games, to me, I'll be honest with you, nobody should be fired. Nobody should lose their job today. That's an unpopular thought. I'll tell you what, though. Every single person in that organization is on notice. And you got 12 games. There are other barriers, right, to the deadline, which I think you've got 4 games left. That's a big deadline. You've got December. Can you get head above water by December? Because that's where we're at now. You're now digging back from this crevasse you're in. Oh, and by the way, your schedule's getting tougher starting this weekend. But it's over? Well, maybe for you. It's not over for them. And that's exactly where I want them. Because if you can't hang the next 12 months, the next 12 weeks, get the hell out of my town. If you can't lead for the next 12 weeks, get the hell out of town. If Kevin Stefanski is going to use the same old thing, well, I got to coach better, got to play better, and then they don't do it, then get the hell out of town. Today is not the day to just throw everything out or throw one of this thing out. Nope. You're going to sit in it. You're going to either grow in it and get your way out of it, or you're going to fail in it. But these are the ones we brought to the dance. Might as well dance with them. Let's go with Josh in Grand River. What's up, buddy?
So I'm going to start off here with the comparison with the Guardians and the Browns and culture. If you look on Stephen Bode's roster and the culture that he has appointed people on his team that actually have it, as in where I am the guy to come to when we're breaking down, when we have lack of communication. There are players on that roster that actually, when one's down, they pick each other up. The Browns, we don't have that. We have a bunch of players right now that are down and nobody's communicating. There is a quarterback that's wearing the star of getting a gold star of being team captain, which I don't see him being team captain.
I think when it comes to leadership, there's no way this doesn't fall on every single guy with a C on their chest, and there's no way this doesn't fall right at Kevin Stefanski and his coordinators and his coaches. So I agree.
It does, but then I also have a little spicy nougat that's kind of got my mind going, is the fact of maybe we're reason why Van Pelt was fired and let go is because he wanted to keep Flacco in town because he's seen how the offense operated with Flacco at quarterback versus Deshaun, and they knew that wasn't a realistic thing, so they had to let him go. The non-continuity with coordinators and everybody on the staff and Podesta and analytics, it's making all of us fans sick and losing hope in our football team.
Josh, we appreciate you, buddy. Have a better Monday than the Browns had a Sunday, okay?
You do the same, man.
Thank you so much. Josh in Grand River there. Again, we are going to get back to some Gardo's talk here as we do have Game 2 of the ALDS coming up within the next half hour. But as we talk about the Browns, I'll just be honest with you guys. We're not going to do – I'm going to wait till JP joins us to do the Deshaun conversation. But if you are looking at places to fix – give me a non-Deshaun Watson area to fix. Because can I tell you the thing that I thought about saving for tomorrow, thought about saving for later this week? I would ship Amari Cooper out as soon as I possibly could. I can't do it anymore. Now, it's not all Amari. I'm not trying to put this all, because there are too many people hanging their heads and eye-rolling and body-languaging to death, but he happens to be the guy making $25 million. So the second somebody comes by, and I would call every week to every GM, Amari Cooper's still available. Would you like to meet our asking price? And eventually, somebody will and get desperate. But the absolute first moment anybody offers you anything of value for Amari Cooper, he needs to go out of town. If you win before then you don't have to trade him. But he should absolutely be on the block, because he is symptomatic of, if you're not doing your job and you have bad body language, I'm sorry. You can choose one of those things. You can't choose both. Things to watch in Game 2 for the Gardos next on 92.